For episode 50 for Tuesday, May 7th, 2013. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Pens Radio Network.
What's up? Right. I love you, but I'm still tired from the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Little stumble there in the beginning, but
that's all right.
So this is the Chicago Pen Show edition.
Chicago recap. Best thing about the Chicago show is that Sunday night we close up, we drive for 3 hours, and we are home. I love that.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet. By the time I got done writing down some notes from the show, we were, what, an hour away.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So
I love that. Well, especially since we had such an early start.
Yeah, so I got to tell this funny story. So we're going to leave Friday morning early since it's 3 hours. We're going to get up around 4. We're going to leave at 5.
Good.
Get there by 8. So a coworker of mine comes up to me and says, hey, listen, I'm going to be on vacation on Friday. Can you do some server maintenance for me? That's what I do. So I said, well, sorry, I can't. We're getting up at 4. We're leaving at 5. We're heading to Chicago. Anniversary weekend. I didn't tell anybody it was a pen show this time around. If I say it's anniversary, they're like, oh, no, I won't.
Yeah.
So she goes, oh, that's perfect, she says. She says, because the maintenance window is at 3 o'clock in the morning. So you're going to be up anyway.
Awesome.
So 2:30, we wake up. I get going, server maintenance for an hour, hour and a half. And then we start packing the car.
Well, the car was mostly packed.
Yeah.
But
you know, there's always the last minute things, the food and everything. So we got it. I think we left about 6 o'clock.
Right about 6. Yep.
Yeah.
Pulled in right about 9.
Yeah. So that worked out, actually, because Friday morning is not terribly busy, and it's in Chicago, the weekend pass is pretty hefty. It's, what is it now? Is it $65 for the weekend pass?
Really?
Wow. Yeah, it used to be $50.
These are some hardcore people paying that kind of money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why, you know, it's if you go on Friday, you got to pay the weekend pass price.
Yeah.
So there's not a ton of people there, except for mostly exhibitors. So that was fine. We got there an hour later than we expected, but that was fine. We didn't rush it. I think we had some rain on the way down.
Yeah, it was fine.
We got oriented where our tables are, and I guess we kind of have a permanent spot now.
We do. That is our spot. We are back to back with Joel Hamilton and Cheryl Tyree, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Great people. We love them to death. Joel married us. But it's also nice to have good, solid neighbors behind you to literally watch your back or, you know, swap change or whatever. I think by the end of the show, Joel asked for change once or twice. I'm like, just go get it, please, seriously. But
As we walked in, I noticed Tom Zoss was setting up his table, and he was going to have this pen collection that he was liquidating. And I foolishly did not stand by, but went back to the car.
Mistake number one.
Started unpacking. Two trips in, we had everything out of the car. And then by this time, I noticed now there's a whole horde of people at his table. So I ran over there, and all the good stuff was gone. In fact, I had just apparently missed the one pen that I was there looking for. That I knew he was going to have. It was in somebody else's tray. I later found out what it went for, and I just about fell on the floor, but that's another story. So all the good stuff was gone. All that was left was pencils and just nothing good. So
or
pens,
nothing that you wanted.
Nothing that I wanted. Yeah, there was just like literally all the fountain pens gone. So pens won, Brian zero, I think was the score at that point.
Aww. You made up for it.
I did. Okay, so we're unpacking, right? And Lisa's putting the ink in the – we got the grid up. Lisa's putting the ink in the grid. We kind of have our own little thing that we do. And I lean over, and Joel's setting up. And I had this planned out a couple months in advance now.
Arg.
Joel pulls out of his pocket a pen, hands it to me. I slip him some money, keep the pen in my pocket.
It's like a – covert drug deal, like, dude, you got it, slip him some money.
Well, it was, yeah, I had called him about a month ago, and we were talking about some repair and stuff, and he's like, okay, now I got it for you,
I got your stuff, man.
He said, like, what size nib, you know, do you want it flexible, do you want it firm? Fine, not flexible if possible.
Yes, no flex.
So he gives me the pen. I have it in my pocket for a while. I'm trying to figure out a way to slide this in. And so I decide, we have our name badges that we have that we wear around our neck. And Lisa always has a pen. Unfortunately, it's usually a ballpoint.
It's a Twisby ballpoint. It's a Twisby. Okay. It's a pen brand.
So I take the ballpoint out, and I put this pen in her badge holder. And we're kind of getting to the end of our setup, so I put it on the table and I say, "Hey, here's your."
Don't forget your name badge.
Don't forget your name badge. And I think you picked it up and you threw it off to the side for a
oh,
minute.
Oh God. Well, when we're setting up, we don't wear it because you know you're constantly bending over and moving around a lot, and it just gets in the way. So I don't put mine on until we're actually like totally set up.
Yeah, ready to rock. So.
Right. So it would have been absolutely a common thing for me to just, you know, because all I have in there is my Twisby ballpoint.
Yeah. So I think I made a comment of, you know, something about careful your pen or something in there. And
it's
then
just a ballpoint.
Yeah. So so you want to show what it is?
I do.
And this is my anniversary present to Lisa. So
yes, Janet, you're gonna like it. You'd be proud of me.
Ta-da!
Tortoise. Pretty. It's a 400NN. A beautiful fine nib. Can't see it, but I just inked it up today, in fact, and I tested it out for the first time. Don't judge. Just before the show. It's been busy.
And how is it?
I love it. It's okay. Beautiful. Now, awesome. When did we get your pen? Was it still Friday or was it Saturday? Must have been Friday.
It was about like 30 seconds after, like, oh, crap. I want to run over and get it because our new best friend, John Colton,
yep.
Had a table kitty corner from ours. Yep. And as some of you may recall, he tortured us in Atlanta. And
he tortured you. I was fine.
Well, yeah. Okay. All Omos pens. It's all he had in his table.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, just really sweet. And so it was later that afternoon, but every time you went over there, he was gone, I guess.
Yeah, he seemed to be either going to lunch or maybe he went up to his room or maybe doing whatever. See, he had his table covered up several times, so every time we would slow down enough to be able to sneak over there, he was gone, and I felt guilty because I had my anniversary present and I hadn't gotten yours. And even when we got it, I felt bad. It was kind of anticlimactic. Well, we went over, we started to look. Brian was making sure that was the one he wanted, but then we had people at the table, so basically, you know, he just paid for his own anniversary present. Well, I couldn't get it in advance because I didn't want to pay the shipping, and I knew that he would be there, and what if you found something you liked better?
You know, he did have a couple of – he had that – you saw that – remember that red marble Omos that he had?
I just closed my eyes.
Oh, man, was that pretty.
Because Omos are free.
Yeah, well,
Omos are yours.
Yeah, sort of. We'll get to that. But anyway, here it is. It's the – It's the Omos Paragon. This is the new style Paragon. So it's big, it's fat.
It's got a huge nib.
Yeah, and this has a sterling silver section on it, two-tone nib. And believe it or not, folks, yes, this is a fine nib. And
yes.
It is delightful. Really, really a sweet, sweet pen. Piston filler. It's huge.
It's also a weapon.
Well, it is, yeah. Here's just to give you a comparison. This right here is a Parker 51.
It's big.
So you can see it's like considerably longer, and I can even that out there.
Is Eric in the chat? It's not quite 8 inches.
No. It's big. It's a nice big pen.
Yep.
It's faceted. I love it. So.
Yep. Then I'm always on the lookout for groups of people hunched over and clustered around a table. And I saw such a gathering. I'm like, I don't know what they're doing, but you need to go. So I kind of shooed Brian over to a table because I'm sure that it meant that somebody was liquidating something. That's what it usually means. And so Brian went over.
Yeah, so it's cool because it just means just to grab money and take it over just in case.
Here's a wad of cash. Go.
So it turned out to be a relatively new dealer that we've seen before.
We saw her in Little Rock.
Little Rock, yeah. And I think she had been on the scene before, but had taken some years off. I don't remember ever seeing her before. But
not me.
She had quite a number of pens at pretty decent prices. So I managed to pick up
a tire.
It's a really nice, it's really hard to see here. A Waterman 12 eyedropper. Really, really nice imprints, but it has these really cool gold-filled milled bands, which is a little more unusual than the standard chased style, snail style bands. But really a sweet little pen. Number 2 New York nib. And for I thought a really reasonable price. Yep. So
always cool when that happens.
Yeah, you know, and I wasn't really looking for anything, but yep. There it was. So.
Yep. We had some decent traffic on Friday, and we had run into our friend Ed Fingerman from Fountain Pen Hospital a couple of times, and he made a point to remind us that they were doing their parts blowout, which was a big part of why we were excited to be there. And he remembered how much fun Brian had had digging through the bags. They made announcements about it, and next thing you know, it's, 2:45. I think you even had an alarm set.
I was about, yeah, I set an alarm on my phone because I wasn't going to miss this.
Right.
And we had come early. We come for this. You know, we wanted to make sure we were going to be there. And I set an alarm for like 2:15, 2:30, I think it was, even just so I didn't forget. Actually, I set two alarms. So I get up and I happen to run into Rob Bader.
Rob Bader's a trip.
He is. He's a cool guy too, man. And he's carrying this box. This is hilarious. He's carrying this huge banker's box, right? And I'm like, well, Rob, what's in the box? He says, nothing. He says, but I'm not leaving until it's full.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and I'm like, oh man, this dude's serious because that's how he plays. You know.
Well, he doesn't buy pens like a pen here, a pen there. He buys bags. And when he sells them, like in Dallas, he had bags of pens that he would sell like by the pound.
Yep.
Some of them would be marked like $10, and then he'd weigh them, and it'd be 10 times however much, or, you know, whatever. I mean, yeah, he's got an interesting system.
Yeah, well, and it works too. It really does. Mm-hmm. And so we walk over there, and we're standing in front of the table. Now, this is they had four or five tables. They had at least four, which is, you know, 24 feet of length of a table. And we're standing there, and we're the first two people there, and Ed's sitting there, and then he's looking over, and Steve was there, and he says, well, I guess we should probably start this party. So they take this box, and it's easily, I mean, they had boxes of these, like big banker's boxes full, a couple of them. They just take them and they
overturn
dump them out. Yeah, overturn them on the table. And you never saw people swarm in on a table so fast ever.
Like and sharks so, and chum.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's like
that cow, you know, that video you see of the cow in India and all the piranha. Never mind. It was a swarm.
No, I
it
haven't seen that one.
It was a little scary.
There's actually video on FPH's Facebook page of the very very early, right after they dumped them on the table. There was just a few people there, but literally they're taking bags and they're throwing these bags like footballs, tossing them from one end of the table to the next. And
is that how you rotate it?
Well, you know, everybody was kind of doing. I had Rob on my right. I had David Nishimura on my left. And what we started to do is we kind of worked together. We'd like, okay, we'd grab a bag, and if we didn't like it, we would rotate it to our left.
Okay.
And so I would get it, and I'd throw it over in front of David. David would get it, and he'd throw it, you know, over to whoever was on his left.
Okay.
And then the FBH guys would go grab the stuff on the, you know, it'd be on their right, our far left, and they would bring it over to the other side, and then they start, you know, mixing it up. So
crazy.
But, Lisa gave me some very good advice.
Just buy it.
Well, yeah, but it was, and I'm glad you said it because I wouldn't have thought of it. He said, just grab the bags and look later. Just hang on to them.
Well, because in Long Island, it wasn't as much of a feeding frenzy, but it's impossible to, I mean, when you've got literally, what did they have, 300 bags?
300 bags.
300 quart-size baggies, anywhere from, what, three or four things to probably 10 or 15 in each bag. There's no way you can really look at all that well in a matter of 5 seconds and move on to the next one. So just grab what catches your eye, kind of hoard them, and then, you know, once you've got what you think you want, then go back and look.
Well, they had an interesting system, and I can't believe they did this, but they if the pen had a gold nib, they uncapped the pen and posted it and put it back in the bag, so
it's
you knew.
Work.
I know, for 300 bags, so you knew if the pen had a nib, or if it was capped, that meant most of the time it did not have a nib.
Oh, you and, love those.
Well, and sometimes. No feed, no section. I mean, you know.
Right.
So here is just a quick shot of.
How many did you get this time?
I picked up 12 bags.
The first time around.
On the first time around, yeah. But it was, you know, and those guys were cool too, though, because you'd be like, you'd have, I had 8 or 9 bags. And then I decided at that point that all the same stuff was right in front of me, and there was some stuff that was just kind of staying out the ends, and they had stopped kind of rotating it. So I go gave 8 or 9 bags, and I gave them to Steve, who's sitting from FPH, who's sitting behind the counter. He put them in a special box for me, and you know, everybody got their own box if they had a lot of bags, so they don't have to, you know, get them mixed up. And then I got to walk around, grabbed a couple more bags, but I mean, crazy stuff. Crazy, crazy stuff. So, you know, I've yet to completely go through them. I've been through them a couple times, but there's going to be some really cool stuff that I find, I'm sure. Probably one of the highlights. I've got two of them here that I'm pulling out for myself. This one right here. It doesn't look like much, and I'll get a photograph of this week. It's got no nib. Yes, I know. But this right here is a very early Waterman slip cap. It's got the 2-line imprint. It does not have the ID. It doesn't have the globe. These are made from 1883 to 1908. And I think, and this is pre, so like, you know, Waterman 12 is a number 2 sized eyedropper. 14 is a number 4 size. This is before that system. I think this is actually a number 4.
Cool.
So, very early pen. It's missing the nib, but if you look in the Waterman book, Gary Lehrer and Max Davis' book, they use the same New York nibs as the later pens did. So that would be technically period correct.
So now this is Brian 1, Pen 0. So now you're even, or are you ahead? Because you came back to the table and you were excited.
I'm ahead at this point because I got that other Waterman 12.
Awesome.
So
okay.
And the Omaha. So I guess I'm up 3.
Cool.
And then the other one that I'm really, really super happy about is this guy right here.
See, now that looks like the other one to me.
That doesn't look like the other one. There's no way. They don't even look remotely alike.
They're both tire pens. They both have gold trim. They both have
tracing. Yeah, well, see, one has the Waterman has the milled bands on the top, and the one on the bottom has the standard snail chasing. And this one is yet another. It's a Wirt eyedropper with an overfeed. And it's just really, really a nice, nice pen. No problems whatsoever.
Cool.
So early imprint, very nice pen.
That's the one you asked about on Zoss?
No, I asked about the Waterman on Zoss.
Right. Okay. So, cool.
Yeah. Tons of other stuff that...
It'll take you a month to go through all that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So...
Cool. Friday night then, business I thought was pretty good. It was great to see a lot of people. It wasn't super busy, so we had time to take the time and chat a little bit more than sometimes we do, which is, you know, always fun for me. Friday night, man, we just don't stop. Friday night, we got a drink at the bar with several people, which also included a meeting with a high-ranking official with the Society of Inkwell Collectors.
Yes, it did.
Treasurer. But Aaron was great. I think we're finally in a good place with negotiations to assimilate them into the PCA. And, you know, Aaron's just a blast to spend time with. I thought we had a good time, all things considered. Then we had some appetizers. Then we headed back to the pen area for a reception for Russell Schaefer, who is the great-grandson?
Great-grandson.
Of Walter Schaefer. So that was cool.
We should tell people the really cool thing about that is that, so Dick Crane from Kenroe introduces us.
Oh, yeah.
This is Brian and Lisa Anderson from Anderson Pens. He says, well, nice to meet you. Pleasure. Where are you from? Oh, we're from Appleton, Wisconsin. He goes, I know exactly where that is. He says, I go up to Green Bay to see the Packers play, and I stay in Appleton.
How cool is that? See, he's going to come to our house. We're going to hang with Russell Schaefer.
So we have invited Russell to stay with us. I hope he takes us up on the offer, or at least stop
by.
Come and have dinner, talk pens.
Yeah, show him the pen room and all that.
And genuinely a super nice guy.
Totally down to earth. I mean, you know, Kenroe had been plugging this and you know, he was the kind of the star of the weekend. Totally cool, down to earth. He brought his son with him, Andrew. Just nice, nice guy.
Yeah, and a short presentation. Life growing up as a shaver.
It was kind of cool to hear about growing up in Fort Madison.
Yep.
He was cool. Then the auction,
which was nice because now it was in that room adjacent to the.
Yep. Adjacent to the big ballroom.
Yep.
So when we got in there, we kind of put our stuff on a front row seat, saved our seats, and then we went and had. What was the reception? Was it appetizers?
Yeah, it was bacon encrusted something.
Yeah, on those little teeny things. Yeah, it wasn't much.
Oh, there was shrimp.
We didn't get the shrimp.
I think I got one.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, it was yummy, whatever it was.
Yeah. And wine. The wine was nice. There we go, drinking and bidding. So then we just all sat down, and then the auction... Brian was not victorious.
I think that's the first auction in quite some time I have not been victorious. I don't know. There was, and how would you describe the auction? I would say there was a lot of very expensive items that I thought went for a
couple people dropped like five figures. I'm just going to go there and say, and that's like five figures, 0.00.
Yeah. Well, all
that's
the
just like $100, that could be five figures.
Yeah. No.
It was crazy.
There were, what, 11 Parker 61 prototypes?
Yeah.
And those things started at $500.
And in fact, it got to a point where the same person would bid on them. And the first, what, one or two, they started at like $100. And after that, they just started at five. They just look at this one guy and go, five? He's like, yep. And went on from there.
Yeah. And some of them went up to $1,200. The star of the auction did not sell.
That was weird.
Perhaps, and I did not actually physically see it, only because I respect that. There's no way, I could bid on this.
There's no way you could bid on that.
Yeah, and come home still married, probably. A Waterman 418. Okay, so now a Waterman 418, for those of you that know, is a sterling silver overlay on a number 18 Waterman pen, number 8 size nib. That's pretty scarce as it is. This was a filigree, which makes it even more desirable, but it was fine silver, so it's 0.99. And the fine silver filigrees have that Art Nouveau design to them. They're like almost every one of them is different. There's lots of different designs in that. So that in itself is outstanding. This is over cardinal hard rubber. And if that wasn't enough, it's in this box that no one has ever seen before. It's in this plush, the outside wasn't plush, but the inside is this green plush, big spot for the pen. And then there's a separate spot in the case for the eyedropper, which it had just perfect condition. The bidding started at $5,000.
Yeah, but it didn't really go anywhere.
No, it didn't really go anywhere. So they had to drop it down, you know, 4, 3, 2.
It was withdrawn.
And, and Terry Mahorder, he was doing the auction. He's a fabulous auctioneer. And I think the bidding did get up to about $4,500.
Yeah.
And it stalled out.
That was
Pen did not meet reserve, and it was estimated probably 10 or 12,000.
Yeah,
is I think where that was supposed to go, and there was just no interest in the room.
If someone hadn't paid for 11
prototypes. Yeah. So, and the other thing that happened is the item that I really really wanted
was
number 87 on the dang list. And in Chicago, you know, Chicago does it kind of different than Raleigh and Ohio. Raleigh and Ohio seem to put the better stuff toward the end, and they mix it up a little bit in Chicago. So I passed up a Waterman 42 safety with a gold-filled faceted overlay that went for $100.
Well, if you'd known, yeah.
Yeah, and so the piece that I wanted was a sterling silver filigree sleeve filler, which I have a gold-filled version of. It's made by Sanford and Bennett, and I was determined to come home because I wanted the pair. Well, the bidding got up to, I started getting out of my comfort zone. It was 300. I bid 350, and I'm thinking, for sure, that's it. And out of the back of the room, 375. It's 400 to me, and I just said, you know what? No way. I'm not going to do it.
Because he was holding up the card, and he was just keeping it up.
Yeah, well, I had mine up too, so it was like, it was 150, 2, it just kept going up, and I said, no way. I'm not going to do 400. That's it. I'm done. So I didn't take anything home except for my bride.
Well, there are worse things you could take home.
Absolutely.
So. after the auction, our friend Jared actually bid on a couple things, including this big picture in a frame. And, of course, Kenro flies, so we were all kind of curious as to how he thought he was going to get that thing home. I think he had somebody drive it. And then there was a reception in that very same room after the auction with, was it more wine?
More wine and soda, I think. I don't remember.
And then some little pastries.
Oh, remember, at that point, we had been up for 21 hours.
Yes, we had. So we just had a nibble, spoke to a couple people, and got the heck out of there.
Yep.
And then we stayed at a different hotel. We usually stay at this hotel. So Saturday, we I wouldn't say we slept in, but we didn't get up super, super early. And it was nice to not have to race to the ballroom and get set up since everything was already set up. I love it when you don't have to break down.
Yep. We had a couple things we had to set up, but it was no big deal. It was just...
Yeah, not much.
You know.
But then we left. We realized we left the cooler at the hotel, so Brian had to go get it. And what a hassle with, you know, getting out of the parking lot and the parking meter and then traffic. Well,
I started to get in the queue to get out. There were like three cars ahead of me to get out, and I realized I didn't have the stinking room key. So I pulled around and quick run into the hall. And, of course, I've got my sunglasses on. And, you know, so I look funny as it is, you know, and I'm running in. I got to go. Lisa's helping somebody with ink. I kind of grab the key. I run out. And I think, we've only been here 3 hours. And I know they had these parking passes that you could put in to get a discount on the parking. I've only been here 3 hours. There's no way that this is going to be that expensive. You know, it's not going to be much. You know, if it's $10, no big deal. It's $19 to get your car out of the parking ramp.
I should have given you the other one, but anyway.
$19, I could have bought lunch. So.
Yeah. But Brian brought back lunch in our cooler with our sodas and our chips and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so. There it was, sitting right by the fridge, ready to go.
Overall, Saturday was busy.
Yeah.
It was nice having both Kenro at the end of our tables and Edison down a little bit so that as we sold something, we could just run over to one of their two tables and restock it right away.
Well, at one point on Saturday, I went down to Edison to go grab another pen, a Hudson, and they gave me the pen. Great. Go back to put it back on the rack. And the next person to come up says, oh, I like these. And he bought an Edison. So, like, I mean, literally 5 minutes later, I'm back down. Hey, listen, you know, I need another one.
And Brian, poor Brian Gray was looking confused. Like, wait, weren't you just
here? You're just asking for, you know.
Well, I had texted him the first time because Brian and Andrea brought their son, Andrew, to the show. And Andrew's very, very well-behaved, very polite. But his show gets a little boring for a 7-year-old. So I figured, okay, he could play messenger, you know, send Andrew down with the pen and I'll send him back with the cash kind of thing. And that was cute. But anyway.
So what else happened on Saturday?
Did you go back to FPH's tables?
That was Sunday, I think.
Okay.
Wasn't it? You know, we skipped over something that we bought on Friday.
What did we buy?
We bought something for you.
Oh, but I can't have it yet.
Okay, so are we not going to talk about it? I don't actually have
You can.
I don't actually have it on me.
I don't know. Am I going to get, like, drummed out of the business? Am I allowed to have it?
Oh, wow. Ouch.
You can have the Aurora 88 because it's a tire.
Oh, now I can have it. All right. So, Lisa fell in love.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta, we discovered that, and admittedly, I'm an Omos newbie.
Well, I knew that there were little baby ones.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, whatever. I mostly a vintage guy. So, yeah, so they're little tiny pens. I mean, they're, you know, they're, what, 5 or 4 inches? Five inches.
You have it. You measure it.
I don't have it here. It's in the back. It's on the pen chest. Hang on.
So we're at John.
You keep talking. I'm gonna go.
We're at John Colton's table, and Brian's agonizing between two Omos pens, the Paragon, and whatever it is he wants for Father's Day or his birthday, both of which are in June. So I got to get in touch with John Colton again. I'm looking, and there's this little Omos. It's really cute.
Yeah, it's little.
We had looked at a couple in Atlanta, and I really liked them, but they're an Omos, and, you know, hands off, I get Aurora. There's my baby.
There it is right here.
So Brian bought me my Mother's Day present, which is an Omos. But if he buys it for me, that's okay, though, right?
So there it is. You see how
it's tiny.
Tiny it is, yeah.
It's little. It's pretty.
So, but it's black.
Well, I'm part of the, you know.
Oh, and it's got a, let me look at this here.
I don't care what the nib is. It's cool.
What the nib is.
I don't care.
It's a broad nib.
Well, I can have Pendleton grind it.
Oh, ouch.
Well, I'll try it as a broad. Maybe I'll use it to sign care packages and stuff.
There you go. You probably get, like, your name out of the one fill of the pen.
It's pretty. I love those.
So, anyway, that's to be gifted.
Well, I can see your Father's Day present from here. It's already in the box. But so Saturday we finished up.
But there's one more pen, though.
What else?
The pen? The big pen find? That just came to the table in some pocket.
Some guy walks up and he's got pens in his pocket. And I was surprised that Brian didn't punch him, knock him out, and take his pen. Well, remember, you're the one who ran over that poor little old
man.
There was a pen that once it came out of the pocket and he handed it to Brian, I knew this was coming home with us one way or another.
Yeah, I was kind of, I don't say I was shaking, but I was just like, you know, the blood started to move. It started to flow, and I saw it. In the guy had wanted to get the pens repaired, and I said, well, number one, there's no way this pen is ever going to be, you're never going
to
repair this pen.
Guaranteed to not work.
Guaranteed to not work. And it has some issues. Most definitely, but this pen is so rare.
Brian didn't care.
You can't care, because we haven't seen one of these in 2 years. If you see one every 2 years, you consider yourself very, very fortunate. So here it is in all its glory. It's an Esterbrook twist filler. Now, as you can see here, that the clip is askew. The clip is cracked on each side of the clip. It's palladium silver, so with some very special attention, I can probably get that silver soldered back together. But it does not have the correct nib for it, but that's fine.
That's easy.
That's super easy, the least of our concerns. It does not work, but it does have the knob, so that's, you know, a bonus.
Half the battle.
And I was thinking at the time I knew I had a gray pen. I knew I had one of these at home, and I was thinking that maybe the one that I had was missing the knob, but had a good cap. As luck would not have it, the one that I have is missing the clip as well, but it has a knob. It's a little darker barrel on mine, but you can see the two there. There's two twist fillers.
Very cool.
But we did some horse trading. I think the
guy didn't take the first offer, but he kept coming back, and it wasn't to up the deal or anything. It was just he really didn't want it, but he just didn't know what he wanted for it or instead of. So it took a little trading, but nice guy.
Yeah, a super nice guy. I met him on Reddit. I'm brutally honest. You know, it's a family pen. So if, you know, when it comes to a family heirloom, you know, most
certainly the family.
Yeah, most certainly, it should stay with the family, if that's what he wants. Or the alternative is, he can give it to me, and you know, the family would want to see him have a pen that he can write with. So, and there's no way you're going to fix this. I mean, Todd in California has said he's been able to fix them. I'm sure he has, but you just don't want to mess with this. There's not enough. I offered him a fair price, I think, given the condition, and he eventually came back. We traded two pens plus a repair of a third pen.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of how it worked out. So I think it was a good deal.
Yeah.
Super excited to get another one. So.
Oh yeah, I was totally doing the happy dance.
But I'm gonna see if I can see the next trick is gonna be to get that clip fixed. But he kept making me nervous because he'd pull it out of his pocket. I'm like, you gotta be careful because there's a crack on both sides of the clip. He's pulling it out of his pocket, his pants pocket, and I'm like, oh, that clip
don't
is
break
gonna,
the pen.
Clip is going to break off, and I was really nervous that it was going to fall off, even in transit between Chicago and here. But
yeah, that was cool.
So there it is.
Yep, we finished up the show on Saturday, and then we walked over to Giordano's, which is an Italian restaurant right next door. McDonald's is next door, and Giordano's is right behind it. Literally. Yeah.
Let's not get the two mixed up.
Oh, there's no way. Right behind it, and great, great food, good prices, and it's walking distance. I mean, you get in there, and it's like a mini pen show. Like, everybody from the pen show is there.
Right.
We had the same waitress we've had a number of other times, Joanne.
Yep.
And we reminded her that a couple years ago we got free beer. that was pretty cool.
And the beer is great, by the way. Yeah,
good beer.
The beer there is good. Great.
And then she treated us to a dessert, a free dessert for our anniversary. Yeah. So that was cool. And then we went back to the hotel.
But we're skipping over the food completely or what?
Oh, your food was yummy. Yeah, what happened to the Food Network?
All right, so... what did you? You had a salad of some sort?
What did I have?
You had a salad.
I had a salad. It was a new salad, and it had some...
apples and...
some fruit, and then I added some chicken. It was really yummy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I had a roast beef sandwich, but it wasn't just any sandwich. It was, you know, beef and cheese and peppers and green peppers and a couple of jalapenos in there. But they made it inside their standard deep dish pizza. And it's about, 3 inches high.
It was huge.
Crust. Yeah. And then they put a layer over the top. And it was amazing, amazing. And with Parmesan French fries. And,
oh, yeah.
And, of course, being in Chicago, it's the Goose Island.
Hunkers.
No, we didn't get the Hunkers. It was the Green Line. Green Line.
It was good.
Ale. And so we got a picture of that, and it's not green. I don't know why it's called Green Line, but it's not green. It's very, very nice ale.
And dessert was phenomenal. This huge sundae, if one person finished it, I would be shocked. And I mean, I don't think we finished it.
We did finish it, yeah.
No wonder we couldn't move. But dessert
was...
Can
we go back? I want to go back just for that.
Yes, it was yummy. it was a good busy Saturday. We got to see a lot of people, but we didn't buy anything on Saturday, did we?
Just the twist filler, and I did buy a sterling silver Schaefer. I'm not 100% sure on the model, but it's a sterling silver Schaefer with an inlaid nib in the box, probably 70s manufacturer, 70s, 80s manufacturer. So I got that, but that was just for, I'm not keeping that, but,
And then Sunday, same thing. We actually slept in a little bit, since the table was all set up and, but FPH, we walk in and, pretty much right away, Ed grabs me and says, "Hey, tell the hubby, I'm not telling everybody, but tell the hubs that, I'm going to do 30% off on the parts." So Brian's talking to somebody, and I was incredibly rude, and I just kind of yelled over, "Brian, get over there."
I was trying to score a deal on a green Esterbrook Visumaster, and kind of had the deal kind of wrapped up, and boom, had to go over to the table, which is fine. And it was pretty picked over, but there was one bag there that I had must have picked up on Friday probably 10 times and thinking, geez, is this worth $50? You know, there was it had a Visconti ink pot in it,
which I have never been able to figure out how to use.
But the rest of the bag was total crap, and it was, to me, it wasn't worth buying, you know, for $50. And but the price was 30% off. So at 30% off, I thought it was worth it. So I picked up three more bags, including one bag, which, and some people are going to probably laugh at me, but this bag was only $25.
And then 30 off.
And then 30 off. But take a look at this. So you see this? This is all, these are all hoods, section, or hoods, feeds, nibs, and in almost all cases, breather tubes for Parker 21s, new old stock. And there must be 2-3 dozen in here.
Awesome.
For 25, it came to like 18, not even $20 for the whole thing. So all these Parker 21s that you find that have cracked hoods.
We can do that.
Yeah, piece of cake. You know, I mean, they're not bad pens. It's just when that hood cracks, you're done.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was fun. Picked up three bags.
I thought it was decently busy for a Sunday.
Yeah, we had good traffic.
Yeah. Sundays are often slow, at least until noon and even after, while everybody goes to church. And sometimes the dads have to do some family time before they can sneak away to the pen show. And it's nice to be able to get cleaned up and organized and restocked a little bit and be able to kind of slide over to some neighboring tables to do a little shopping without having to worry or be quite as vigilant. So Sunday mornings are pretty cool.
Yeah, and we had, let's see who was behind us, right next to Joel and Cheryl's, one of my favorite people, Francis Babullion.
One of the best-dressed men in Pendham.
Absolutely, absolutely. Distinguished gentleman, and he's an old-time Esterbrook collector, so he's always got Esterbrooks, and he's a big Pelican person too, so he's got lots of Pelicans, some overlays, lots of cool things. So, but I can slide back there and I can talk to him and keep an eye on the table at the same time. So we were talking about dip pens and some interesting stuff. So,
yep. And Terry Mahorder was right across from us, so that's always awesome.
Yep, Terry's a super guy.
Joel and Cheryl were behind us, and that's always fun. So you were spending some time with Cheryl. Man, she is funny. She needs to write a book.
She is. So we actually, I'll tell a story. Okay. I can tell this one. So we're talking about repairing pens, and some of our customers are, you know, they're sending pens that they used back in the 40s and 50s, and she tells me she gets a pen in from a gentleman, and she's talking to him on the phone, and she says, well, it's going to be 12 weeks. And he says to her, he says, ma'am, I am 92 years old. And she says, well, then I guess I better hurry up.
She is a trip. Yeah. So. And with that kind of southern drawl she's got there, I totally could hear her saying that.
Yeah. So and I know it's cool. We picked up a couple of really, really good repair tips from her. Always, you know, we've been going to shows and seeing them for years now, and every time I pick up some new tip from her. It's just crazy.
Well, she's just pacing you.
So
when they were here for your training, you know, they can't just throw everything at you, so they have to kind of pace it out.
Well, I'm excited about the new tip that we got. I think it's really gonna
help.
What else? So Sunday, Kenro is just constantly throwing stuff over at us.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. We ended up with some displays and some other stuff, including a pizza. Sunday,
Jared just comes sauntering over.
They had several people there for the big Schaefer presentation and everything. And so they ordered a couple pizzas for lunch from Giordano's, on Sunday, but they couldn't finish it all. So Jared brings over this uneaten half a pizza, and it's this huge, thick.
Yeah, it's that same deep dish that my sandwich was.
Yeah.
But now it's, you know, it's cheese. Oh. It was a meat lover, so it's got pepperoni, awesome. Sausage, and bacon. And
yep. Suddenly, you know, our ham and cheese sandwich just didn't compete. Yeah,
it was done. You know, customers are talking, I'm like, I don't care. I got pizza. Everywhere. It just, so yeah, whatever you want, I'm engaged here.
Hey, you know, free pizza, free yummy, awesome, hot, fresh pizza. Scores every time.
Well, we didn't have to get dinner then at the end of the show. So
that's true. That was nice.
But yeah, they were bringing over displays and all sorts of stuff.
Bottles of ink and yeah, cool stuff.
So we should mention something that we didn't mention last week. We've had a loss in the community. It would have been a week ago Saturday.
Yeah.
Frankie Tedesco, 62, I think, passed away.
Wasn't that old.
No, and Frankie was kind of a fixture on the circuit, well known for his Esterbrooks and his Victorian pencils.
Yep.
Passed away, had a heart attack. And on Saturday, I think it was it Saturday?
I don't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday, but Pendleton did a really nice thing. I thought it was Sunday.
I thought it was Saturday because Pendleton was talking about a seminar. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Pendleton got up and asked for a moment of silence for Frankie. And Frankie would have been, he always roomed with Terry Mulharder, and he was always right next to him. So Frankie would have been directly across from us.
And it was weird to see this empty table. Terry eventually filled the space because
he filled it up.
Yeah,
and
that's what you do. But
and if you knew Frankie, he always had auctions on eBay, and he just had a slew of them, very colorfully worded. And I used to laugh because Frankie used to call me up and. One time he called me up and says, I hate eBay. I hate selling online. But yet, he always had like 20, 30 auctions on eBay at one time. So, and he was successful at it, always sold stuff. So, rest in peace, Frankie. We'll miss you. So,
It was sweet. And if you've ever been to a show, you have no idea how impossible it is to get everybody to be quiet. And except for one or two people who probably just didn't realize what was going on, I think one was on his phone, the room was silent except for two people. You'd think they would have noticed, but, I mean, it was impressive that everybody went quiet. So that was pretty cool.
So that's kind of in a nutshell, I think.
The show,
The show.
Although, well, then there was the drama near the end. We got in on Sunday, and we stayed at a different hotel. So we pull in, and we walk in, and all of a sudden, all these different people are, like, coming up to us. And so what do you think about this? Like, think about what? We just got here. Well, you know, we got to close up. What do you mean we got to close up? Apparently, the hotel had told everybody or had told security or the organizers or something that everyone needed to be out by 4:15. Now, for us, that means we're going to have to start packing up at like 1:30, which, no offense, but wasn't going to happen. People kept saying, we all got to be out of there at, 4:15. And I just looked at him and I said, I'm not doing it. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah.
So a lot of people were upset. I think a couple people even like packed up early in anticipation of that. But then the organizers announced that the security guards had been misinformed. We didn't have to be out because the Penn Show ran until 5. It's been advertised as until 5 and all of that. And quite frankly, I paid my table fees to be there till 5, and we always stay till the end. We right. never leave early. In fact, sometimes we are the last people out of there. But we, if somebody shows up at 4:45, there should be somebody there.
Right. Well, especially if they're paying to get in.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. So, but it ended up that we didn't have to leave early. But it was still, you know, it really upset people because people weren't sure and everybody was all a flutter about it.
Well, the hotel pulls that crap every year.
Every year.
It's frustrating. You know, I mean, you never know. Is this going to be the year that, like, one year we were there and they had to close half the ballroom on Saturday night and our tables went right down the middle. So we had to take two of our tables and literally pick them up and move them to the other side.
It was crazy.
Sometimes it's, you know, you have to, you know, Friday night, you got to pack everything back up. It's just, you never know what to expect.
Yeah. It's really not done well. But then apparently there was some kind of a dinner or something. So they did start to break down the tables as people were leaving, and then they shut, they drew the partition between the ballroom. But we, as we pack up, we tend to move to another set of tables. That way we can see what's packed and what still needs to be packed. And then they drew the partition, and it wasn't until we were about halfway done that we realized that the packed stuff was on the other side of the partition. Yeah. So we had to run around to get it.
Just of course, then they wanted to help, and that's never a good sign, because
no,
those guys want to move it as fast as possible and don't care that it's 40 bottles of ink in one box. So
yeah. But they do know us. They know not to touch our stuff after what happened during the wedding. So,
anyway, so yeah, we got home 10 o'clock-ish, which was nice. And
Yeah, it was nice to sleep in our own bed that very same night, and kind of cool. It was a good show.
Yeah, I think I would like to see more traffic there, but overall,
I thought it was decent.
Yeah, it was busy enough. Yeah, it was busy enough.
Yep. So,
but it has potential. So anyway.
Absolutely.
There it is, Chicago for 2013. We've got a couple new things to talk about on the website.
We do. Why don't you talk about the promo?
We've got
this is cool.
We got a special promo for May. Entire month of May, we have select pens and other products, proper pads. Quiver, like I say, select pens, not all. If you buy those items, we will send you a gift certificate afterwards that you can spend. So anywhere from a buck to, you know, $2 to $5 to $25. So you can just kind of stack those on top of each other and use it for something else. So, you know, Mom's Day is coming up, graduations, perfect time to do that, and you get something for yourself. So,
yeah, I always like those. I always like getting a gift certificate. It's like, okay, I can buy you your Levenger pen, buy a present for you, and I get something for free.
You're just right here.
Ooh, cool. Let's see. We've got Kaweco finally has been restocked. We've got the Clips back in stock, the Black Gioche, the All Sport in black, and this absolutely gorgeous matte blue.
Yeah, All Sport.
Yeah.
And we should have got more because we were already fighting over who gets one. Oh, yeah, we can share. That always works.
Share it.
That works. Yeah, so the matte blue's not up. I'll get it up soon. But it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful pen.
Yep. So. Thursday before the show, we got 8 boxes of inventory. It was crazy. Now, normally on a Thursday, we leave Thursday around 4, and, you know, the car's packed by about 2, and you know, everything's ready to go. So when Brian comes home from work, we just go. I got 8 boxes. 165 bottles of diamine ink, probably 200 bottles of noodler's ink. All these new noodler's pens, it was crazy. So we finally got everything checked in, labeled, packed. It was insane. So we have over 20 different new Diamine colors, plus some new Noodlers colors, and a bunch of new Noodlers Ahabs and Conrad pens. Some of them are pretty. I like some of the new ones. And then it was kind of cool. In Chicago, we got to meet our Diamine rep at the show. He came in for that.
I think I've seen him before.
I think I have too, but he wasn't our rep when we met him the first time.
So.
Organic Studios and Scribal Workshop restocked as well.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, some of those are really popular. In fact, I'm going to be placing another order later this week. So.
And the big news that I almost forgot.
Brian's excited.
I'm half excited because they don't have the one that I want yet. The new Schaefer Tyrannus.
Yep.
The hooded nib pen that Schaefer just come on. Yeah, very cool pen. I want one in gunmetal.
I want one in wine.
We don't quite have it yet. So we had a wine one, but we sold it at the show. Very neat pen. We have a small number of them right now. We had we took pretty much what Kenro had at the table. So we have those. Those are going to be going up soon. But it's a neat pen, really neat pen.
Yep, very cool.
So.
Yeah. So I'm surprised that we got much done at all last week with work and the show and all that. And now we're in unpack and recover mode. So we'll get some stuff up and just keep moving along.
Yep.
What's next, Raleigh?
Raleigh in 3 weeks. 3 weeks from Thursday.
Well, actually, next week my dad comes to visit. This weekend we take Lindsay to go see the college she's going to attend.
Yep.
Then my dad comes. Then Lindsay takes her driver's test. Then something else. And then Raleigh.
Yep. So not much. Not much that's going on.
No, we're good.
You have any shout-outs this week?
I do.
Okay.
Peggy, of course. Pendleton for doing the great job on the Pendleton Point that our friend Don Kavanagh won last week. Had a great time with Hank at the show. And our friend David, who comes to see us every year.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, he was there for quite a while. Our friend, our niece, Cassie. What's up, Cass? Hugh and Carol, I know you thought we've ignored you and forgotten you, but we're just trying to space it out, share the love. Michelle and Sandy and my mom. I think it's kind of cool that my family watches sometimes. Mom says she plays it for my stepdad.
That's funny.
Hi, Bob. And everybody in the chat,
Everyone in the chat, of course.
Yep. So. Oh, and we need to mention Eric, who apparently is watching, but he can't log in. So everybody in the chat is missing Eric's banter today.
And no wonder it's quiet.
I know. Eric, we're thinking of you.
Anything else?
I think that's enough.
Okay. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us, Anderson Pens, P.O., Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Or check us out online.
Email is brian@andersonpens.net.
That makes mine lisa@andersonpens.net.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/andersonpens.
Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/andersonpens.
Our blog has a new home, blog.andersonpens.net.
And the website, andersonpens.net.
Join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We're going to see you again on Sunday.
Woo! Normal time, normal place.
Good night.